School is in session with Basketball U. Welcome to your study time for the world of college hoops. Now here are your professors, Aki and Hanley, on ESPN 1000.
The madness is in full swing. You've got Basketball U here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki and Brian Hanley with you till noon today. Illini going to tip off in just a little bit. We'll break down everything because they've got a very, very enticing matchup today, Brian, against Houston. But how about everything that happened yesterday? I like to call it Survival Saturday. That's what we saw yesterday. Gonzaga, they survive. You look at UNC, it looked like they didn't have to survive, and then they did.
Largest deficit comeback in that round in NCAA history, yeah. 25 points.
Baylor could have gotten over the hump there, yeah.
And the officials tried to get them over the hump by just saying, hey, you guys go ahead and decide this. We'll be over here watching.
So thank you for tuning in. Tyler Aki, Brian Hanley, we are on Twitch. Watch us, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, also 100.3 HD2, 312-332-3776 if you want to hop on in. So let's start with that Baylor and UNC game from yesterday because, like you said, the officiating... Listen, I'm not a big ref complainer because at the end of the day, I don't think officiating determines the biggest portions of games. 25 points, letting that lead slip, that's not officiating per se, but when you take a guy out of a game like they did with Brady Manek yesterday, getting him out on a flagrant 2 foul that... I wouldn't take him out of a game, I don't think. The game was certainly chippy. It turned into a quasi-football game out there on the hardwood. But the officiating to me so far in this tournament, the first 2 days, I thought it was pretty consistent across the board. I thought, for the most part, pretty good. And on top of that, they let guys play a little bit. Like, you knew what you were getting. But then in this game, you see towards the end of the game, pretty much inside of 10 minutes, everything sort of tightened up. Every single ticky-tack thing got called, and as a result of that, here comes Baylor back and almost pulling off a historic comeback because you're removing one of the best players in the game.
Yeah, look, the Manek flagrant 2 was almost like, hey, we got to get this under control. I didn't think it rose to that level, and he should have been ejected. But they thought they had a blowout on their hands, and it was getting too chippy. Jay Billis tweeted out it's a hockey or rugby game, rugby, not basketball. And you know, the fact of the matter is, it turned in because your lack of consistency, like you're talking about, the first half, all those fouls in the final 10 minutes of regulation and into overtime would have been fouls in the first half. It's almost like the crew of Kip Kissinger, Brent Hampton, and Donnie Epley, who will not be officiating another game, I don't believe, in this tournament. They won't be moving on. They almost got in a trick bag. They didn't know how to handle it because, you know, they called pretty much everything they saw in the first half. And then they decided the Manek was going to be an example, exhibit A, of what not to do and hoped everything would calm down and that, you know, UNC would go ahead and win that thing going away. Didn't happen. And then, you know, Baylor, God bless them, their defense was suffocating, but they got away with pretty much anything. Every time they trapped, they put a hand or two or three on a UNC guard who, you know, they all decided to dribble into the corner and create their own issues. So UNC almost, you know what, that thing away, but I feel better now because, look, Caleb Love, 5 points and fouls out, and they still built that lead and, you know, survived the overtime. That team is dangerous moving forward here.
Yeah, we'll get into the actual basketball that was played in this game in just a second, but 53 fouls and 56 made baskets in this game.
Unbelievable.
And you see, I know it went to overtime, but 4 guys foul out in this game. You just don't see that. You had a plethora of other guys also with 3 or 4 fouls. But getting into what Carolina did, and you know all too well about what happened with Carolina in round 1 when they dismantled Marquette. But I thought this might be a tough game for Baylor because of the size that Carolina brings to the table. Now, I thought one thing that Carolina would maybe be at a bit of a deficit here in this game would be the fact that they don't run a lot of guys. And if it did get physical and there was foul trouble and God forbid somebody got ejected like they did in this game, that could pose problems for them. And they're not the cleanest team with the basketball. They turned it over 21 times. They lost the turnover battle by 10 in this game and they still found a way to win. This is size that I think is going to disrupt. And really in that East region that they're in right now, along with Purdue, Texas, and obviously St. Peter's, we'll talk about them in just a little bit, but they've got size that can go with anybody else in that region. UCLA also there too. And that's something that is going to give some teams fits down the stretch.
Absolutely. Look, UNC hold in the first two games held Marquette and Baylor to less than 1 point per possession, right? And when they're hitting their threes like they did against Marquette, it's lights out. So this team is the hottest team. I mean, no doubt. They've won 8-1 in their last nine, and they beat Duke to get in the tournament. So, you know, anything can happen. And if they bring a full complement and they hit their threes, they're dangerous. And now that, you know, that bracket's wide open as well.
312-332-3776. Want to get your reaction to everything you've seen from the tournament so far. We're talking UNC. We're talking Baylor right now. And just looking at how that East region sets up moving forward, because again, Baylor was the one seed that went down in this game, and they're the first one to fall, and they were probably the most vulnerable from the get-go as well. But when you look at the entire landscape here, and again, Gonzaga, they got a scare. Kansas to a degree, I mean, that was a close game pretty much the entire way. Arizona plays later on today, but and we have a poll out on our Twitter account at ESPN1000. Which high seed team that survived a scare is most vulnerable right now? Is it Gonzaga? Is it Illinois? Is it Kansas? But getting into UNC and Baylor and the scare that was given there, I didn't think UNC, because the thing with the Tar Heels is that you can usually tell within the first 5 minutes what the result of the game is going to be. And this was a game, and we saw it against Marquette. We saw it against in this game against Baylor. But if they have those vulnerabilities down the stretch, the turnover problems, there's a lot of disciplined teams remaining in their region right now, whether it's UCLA, very disciplined team. You look at Purdue, very disciplined team. Texas, not so much. But St. Peter's, if you're a 15 seed, you're not a 15 seed in the Sweet 16 without some discipline to your team.
No. One of their kids said, we're the hardest practicing team in the tournament, and I guarantee that. Jersey City, St. Peter's, I had to look them up. I had no idea that they were from Jersey City, right? But, boy, you talk about a team that I don't think it's luck that got them here. I mean, they're a hardworking team, right? Butch Lee's kid is one of the guards. So mm-hmm. I was like, Butch Lee's older than I am, and he's got a kid in college. God bless him.
Yeah, they have been the story of the tournament so far. And you look at what St. Peter's has done, getting through Kentucky, first of all, winning the MAC championship, that's MAC with two A's there for those counting at home. What they have done, and to get to this point, and I'm wondering if we're going to see more and more of this moving forward, the 15 seed pulling off these upsets, because now we've seen it back-to-back years. Not just that, we've seen a 15 seed get to the Sweet 16 now in back-to-back years. And I look at St. Peter's as a team that very well coached. Shaheen Holloway.
Oh, man,
I mean,
what a job he's done.
The last time a New Jersey team was in the Sweet 16 was a Shaheen Holloway-led Seton Hall team back in 2000 when he was the point guard for that team.
And you know, already the rumors are out that he's going to go to Seton Hall and take over that program, which mm-hmm. crushes a school
we
like St. Peter's,
year.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can't begrudge him the opportunity. I still look at Calipari's face in that post game. Was just like, what the hell just happened to me? Well, Shaheen Holloway is just what happened to him.
Yeah. The thing that has shocked me the most with St. Peter's throughout this run that they've been on, and again, they finished the season strong. They won their final four regular season games. Then they went through, won the MAAC tournament, and now they have pulled off victories over both teams out of the state of Kentucky with the Kentucky Wildcats and then last night against Murray State. And
never trailed in that game either.
Have done so in rather convincing fashion,
yeah.
I would say, too, especially for a 15 seed. But you look at what they've done, how their profile has changed since they've gotten to the tournament. I mean, you look at some of the raw numbers from the regular season here. Really high turnover percentage offensively. That's not going to win you games in March. Really poor free throw shooting team. Sub 70%. Not going to win you games in March. And a bad rebounding team as well on the defensive side. If you're going to allow a lot of offensive boards and a lot of second chance opportunities for opposing teams,
that's you, Marquette.
Yep. And you thought it was going to hurt them against Kentucky when you've got a guy who can eat up everything on the inside on the glass in Oscar Tshiebwe. I thought that was going to really hurt them against Kentucky. Not that I really put a lot of thought into those 215 matchups because I don't think you need to. Same with the 116s. But you look at how their profile has changed. They've out-rebounded both opponents so far, and they have severely cut down on turnovers, too. It wasn't great against Kentucky, but you force some the other way. And then in this latest game against Murray State, turn the ball over 10 times for a team that is one of the worst in college basketball protecting the ball. You'll live with 10. Because that's going to be a winning formula for you.
Look, this is a St. Peter's team that lost to Siena by 14 a month ago. I mean, to see what they've done in short order, and now they believe they belong, and they look like they belong. And our buddy Fred Huebner tweeted out, you know, you got to make your free throws. In this tournament, in any NCAA tournament, you have to make your free throws. And how many times are you seeing these higher seed teams, you know, missing the front end on a one-on-one or, you know, making one of two? And it costs you at the end, or at least scares you by the time the game's over.
312-332-3776. And the thing about this St. Peter's team is they're not scared.
No.
You can tell that. And it's so great that they have a coach like Shaheen Holloway, who's been through the state of New Jersey. So he's got the great recruiting base in that area. But listen to what he said about his team and the fearlessness that they play with. This was after the Murray State game last night.
No, I'm going to say this. It's going to come off a little crazy. I got guys from New Jersey and New York City. You think we scared of anything? You think we worried about guys trying to muscle us and tough us out? We do that. You know, that's who we are. Like, we are a very physical team. Our bodies probably don't look like it, but these guys play very hard and very physical. So that I wasn't worried about at all. You know, we've been playing against bigger teams out the whole time. So them being a little bigger and stronger, it didn't faze us. When you got tough, hard-nosed kids, they ready to play.
They've been the aggressors this entire tournament, and you would not expect that out of a team like St. Peter's, who they outlasted a really good mid-major team in their own conference in Iona, led by Rick Pitino. I mean, it's not very often you see one of the best basketball minds in the entire sport in a conference like the MAAC, but credit to what St. Peter's has done. They closed the season strong. The only reason they are in the NCAA tournament is because they went out and won their conference tournament. And now, I mean, the way that they are playing and the discipline that they're playing with and the changes that they have made from what they did in the regular season, a big reason why they are at where they are right now.
I love post-game coach voice, too. You heard Shaheen.
Yeah.
Because his guys are tough, but he was on them the entire time. But look, third 15 seed to make the Sweet 16. I have no idea what their odds were. I only wish I had $10 on them. But unfortunately, I backed Tennessee way too much on my sports app. I wonder out there, 312-332-3776, how many of your Final Four teams are still alive in your brackets? Because you know, Tennessee bowed out. I had them in the championship game against Purdue, and I like Purdue's chances now the way that bracket is opened up.
The path has certainly cleared up in the East. When you lose the one seed in Baylor, albeit the most vulnerable one seed in my eyes, and then you lose Kentucky, who maybe was the best team in that entire region too, the way that they were built. And when you have both of those teams not make it to the second weekend there, that's a little gift that the Purdue's, the UCLA's were not expecting to fall in their favor. So the path certainly opened there. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump on in. Talk about what you've seen from the tournament so far. And coming up next, big game today in just a little bit, in just under an hour, we are going to see Illinois take on Houston. Can the Illini, after a scare against Chattanooga, pull off an upset against Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars? That is coming up next.
Welcome back to Basketball U on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley.
You with you every Sunday of the NCAA tournament. Tyler Aki, Brian Hanley, 10 to noon with you on ESPN 1000. Also on Twitch. Shout out to all the Twitchers in the chat today. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Be sure to follow us there. And you can follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Myself at Tyler Aki _ and at Brian Hanley 534. So the big one in the area today is Illinois taking on Houston. But let's just take a look at how we got here with Illinois. Obviously, not a pretty game against Chattanooga. They led in this game for less than a minute, but
25 seconds if you're scoring at home.
It was the minute that you needed to be leading if you were Illinois. Just another one of these sloppy games from the Fighting Illini. 14 turnovers, but 14 turnovers is one thing if it's spread across a couple of guys. It's another thing when Andre Curbelo, the point guard who's supposed to be steadying for your team, has six of them, and then Kofi Coburn, the four that he has in the post are a little bit different because he's going to be mobbed and hounded pretty much every single time he gets the ball in the paint. But this team needs Andre Curbelo to step up and start playing like the guy that some people thought was going to break the all-time Illinois assist record. And now all of a sudden, he's become a guy who comes off the bench, and you don't know what you're going to get with Andre Curbelo.
Well, you know, it's maddening. And last Sunday, you said it. This, the Illini team is a team you just can't trust. And I added, and Curbelo's a player on the Illini team I can't trust. And when he combines with DeMonte Williams to go 2 of 16 from the floor and the turnovers, it's maddening, but our buddy Steve Greenberg at the Sun-Times, who's covering the Illini out in Pittsburgh, wrote a really interesting personality piece on Curbelo, and the kid makes no apologies, no excuses. He is who he is, and he freely admit it. And Steve points out that even with the turnovers and lack of points, he was, a plus 18 in that game the other day. He freely admits this year is the first year he's even given a thought, and he's given a lot of thought to play defense. Said in high school in Puerto Rico, didn't even cross his mind. Last year, maybe a little bit, but this year, he's maddening, and when he drives the lane and, you know, does behind the back dribble, and, you know, it's all showtime and no finish, Illini fans light up Twitter with, you know, this guy drives me nuts, you know, you need to bench him. The fact is, they're damn good defensively when he's on the floor.
Yeah.
So he is who he is. He's not going to change at this point, and you live with him. And I think, you know, if he starts scoring, you're going to be fine. But his defense is out there, you're going to be okay too, if that makes sense. But 2 of 16 from your guards, that's got to be a hell of a lot better.
You're right. He doesn't need to be some sort of offensive juggernaut out there, but he needs to be a presence offensively without scoring. And that is taking care of the basketball and setting up guys. When you've got a guy out there in Kofi Coburn who around the rim has been fantastic this season, you got to continue to feed that. You have to know the strengths of this team. And that's Kofi Coburn. I really like what I've seen out of Alfonso Plummer the last couple of weeks. And Trent Frazier, I mean, he's a guy that has to be better too.
He really
struggled in that Chattanooga game. 0 for 5 from 3, only had 2 points, 4 assists. But he did take care of the basketball. He had just one turnover in his 32 minutes out there, but he's a guy who, unlike Curbelo, you need Trent Frazier to score if you're going to have success if you're Illinois.
Yeah, I think we both agreed last week that, you know, we trusted Frazier a lot more because he's
veteran
more,
guy.
Yeah, more
been
of
there
a calm
forever.
Presence. I'll tell you what, right down to the block at the end, Coleman Hawkins was terrific, right? I mean, he almost had a double-double, and he bailed him up with that rejection that would have been the game. Even, you know, the whole... But Brad Underwood talking about we're going to be fine, we're rested up, we got the early exit from the Big Ten tournament, it's all going to be great, we'll go to Champaign, and we were exhausted last year, and then you lay an egg like that. But to his credit, he said, you know, we were, you know what, against Chattanooga, and we have to be a lot better. And against Houston, they're going to have to be a lot better.
And you're going to have to be a lot more disciplined, too. Yep. And I'm glad you brought up Coleman Hawkins, because he was fantastic in this game against Chattanooga. He finishes with 10 points to go along with 8 rebounds, didn't turn the ball over. Obviously, the huge block at the end, sort of his big moment that's going to probably be in the
moment.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's
montage.
Going to be in the montage at the end. But there's the little undisciplined things that he does, like towards the end of that game, where he just Chattanooga came down with a rebound. Everyone's getting back on defense. But what does Coleman Hawkins do? He goes after the guy with the rebound and just winds up to try to whack it out of there. And it's like, dude, you don't have to do that right now. Because even though it looked like he got all ball on the swing
they're
through.
They're going to call that.
When you wind up like that, it's a foul.
Yeah.
And you just have to be smarter in moments like that. So I'm still torn. I think this team, discipline-wise, needs to be better. They need to take care of the basketball more. But this is a Houston team that might be a complete 180 from what Illinois is from a discipline and a culture standpoint right now. Because Kelvin Sampson, I mean, what he has done, he might be the coach of the year with the way that he has gotten Houston ready every single game this season after losing two All-American caliber players within the first month or two.
And he hasn't been texting illegally while he's been down there, as far as we know. So, yeah, he got another opportunity, and that Houston program's better for it.
312-332-3776. What is your biggest worry about the Fighting Illini heading into today's matchup against Houston? We'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Looking, though, at this Illinois profile and what they do well, what they struggle with this season, I mean, turnovers have been an issue. The defense and offense pretty much in lockstep from an efficiency standpoint. 26th in the country in offense, 24th in the country in defense. So probably not championship caliber numbers there, but this is a Fighting Illini team that they can get hot, too. Like, Alfonso Plummer's a guy who he can go out and hit the first three threes that he takes in a game, and if that starts rolling against a team like Houston, you certainly have a chance. There's a number of sort of microwave-type players on this team, whether it is Plummer, whether it is a guy like Frazier, even Curbelo. Like, we talk about how frustrating he can be as a player, but the frustrations don't come from necessarily all the bad plays he makes, because he wouldn't be out there if he just made bad plays all the time. He has the knack for the spectacular as well. I mean, think about some of the passes he's made throughout the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament in the regular season. There, everyone knows a guy who's has a lot of flash to their game, right? Whether you're playing in the rec league, that is exactly what Andre Curbelo is. But can they get him to be a consistent force? Because we've seen at times he's put up really good numbers, and he has been a major contributor to winning basketball.
Well, look, against Chattanooga, the Illini outscored Chattanooga by 18 when he was on the floor, and they were outscored by 17 when he was on the bench. So Brad Underwood said he just makes everyone better out there. And again, when guys mostly flash and dash and you're old school and you're like, you know, you save that for the NBA, mm-hmm. you know, It is maddening, and it's frustrating, right? But the fact of the matter is, this team's not going to get to the Final Four unless he brings his A game, or at least his B game, from here on out. And, you know, if they can get by Houston today, I assume, you know, you're going to have to bring your A game against Arizona.
Rematch game there. Yeah. And it is worth noting, Curbelo did not play in that Arizona game. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves there, but we have seen him show up in big moments this season. I flash back to that Purdue game. It was his first game back after the concussion. And he goes out there off the bench, and in 26 minutes of play, gives him 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. But the most spectacular number hidden in all of that is the fact that he didn't turn the ball over.
Yep.
And he's had games where he only has one turnover. But he's also had games, like, you just look at his last 5 games, 6, 1, 4, 3, 4. Those are his turnover numbers the last 5 games. That stuff has to get better. And the funny part is, the one loss in there is the game where he only had one turnover in that game against Indiana, but you also see his minutes sometimes dip in certain situations because Brad doesn't trust him out there, I don't think, in some of these. Or sometimes he trusts him to a fault at times by leaving him in.
Well, at least he's self-aware. He said, I take high-risk plays, but I think what separates me from other guards, maybe, like everybody says, it's sometimes good, it's sometimes bad. I'm going to continue to be who I am on and off the floor always. And so, you know, live with it. You know, nothing's changing. He's not changing. And you just better hope that he does take care of the ball better. And he's still a defensive presence that he has been so far.
312-332-3776. What is your biggest fear with this Illini group? We'll also get into Houston a little bit and what they pose against Illinois in this matchup between a 5 and a 4 seed, a trip to the Sweet 16 on the line in the West region. The winner will, in all likelihood, take on Arizona if the one seed can push past TCU later today. So looking at a little bit more with Illinois, too, I think Kofi Coburn, and you sort of saw it play out with Michigan yesterday. What has been Michigan's biggest problem this season is that they just don't feed the ball to Hunter Dickinson enough. And lo and behold, you feed Hunter Dickinson all game long and you beat off a team that was one of the best and maybe a Final Four caliber team, and you take down Tennessee like that. This team needs to get the ball to Kofi Coburn because there's not a lot of size in the interior with Houston, and if you let Kofi Coburn be the star, you're going to certainly have a chance to pull off this upset.
Yeah, look, I mean, Kofi, every team's going to try to make everyone else beat you but Kofi, right? But Houston, I don't think, has the personnel and the player, you know, the size and height to do that. So he had 17 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks against Chattanooga. He can, you know, have 30 points and probably 20 rebounds if you feed him the way you should against Houston, because he's going to be the best big man out there. So as much as they might want to take him out of the game, I think he can dominate if you get him the ball.
So looking at Houston, Josh Carlton is their biggest player at 6'11". He's really good on the offensive side of the glass, but defensively, he can be a liability at times. He has some interior presence to his game, but this is a team that if you let Kofi Coburn go to work against Houston and you get him the touches inside, the one thing that I think will be a problem, though, is how good of a team defense that Houston plays. I think that can be a real struggle, because what do we see with Kofi Coburn? We brought up the four turnovers he had against Chattanooga. One thing that he can do, he'll back his way down in the post, but he doesn't always have awareness where some of those help side defenders, right, some of those guards are. And those are the guys that are going to get the steals on him. And if they can't take care of that in this game, they're going to have a real issue. Because if Kofi Coburn is uninvolved, or if he's turning the ball over, you can start the buses at the end of the first half, because it's not going to look pretty for Illinois.
That's why it's also the guards are going to have to get him the ball in good spaces before those defense, the help defense can be there, so he can operate quickly and convert a hoop or two and not have to worry about guys trying to smother him in the paint.
312-332-3776. We want to hear all your Illini thoughts here on Basketball U. Tyler Aki, Brian Hanley. We'll also get into some other stuff that we saw from yesterday, including Gonzaga pulling off a victory in comeback fashion, something that they have actually struggled with this year. We'll talk about that coming up next.
This is Basketball U.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Illinois and Houston coming up in a little less than 45 minutes. We're with you here on Basketball U, Tyler Aki and Brian Hanley. 312-332-3776 if you've got any Illini thoughts. If you want to talk about Michigan's big win yesterday, taking down Tennessee, we'll get to that in a little bit more in just a little bit. But real quickly, I do think we should go through some things with Houston here, because the other side, people need to know what's going on with the Cougars, what makes them good. How can a team with the record that they had be a seed that they are? I mean, they were there. I believe they're one of two 30-win teams in the tournament right now at 30-5. But they do play in the AAC, so that's obviously going to pad some of those numbers. They did win the conference tournament, though, beating Memphis in the championship game. And the Tigers, one of the hottest teams, and you saw them almost take down Gonzaga last night. But this is one of the best coach teams in the entire tournament because of Kelvin Sampson. I mentioned earlier they lost two All-American caliber players at the beginning of the season when Marcus Sasser went down, Tremont Mark went down. Those were two guys that were integral parts of getting this team to the Final Four last year. And to lose them as early as they did and still rebound and get to the point that they are at right now, that to me says a ton about this team's character. Their only losses in the non-con were Alabama on the road and a neutral site game against Wisconsin. I think we've learned Wisconsin's a pretty good team, even though at the time they didn't look like it. And then Alabama, they can play with pretty much anybody.
And they were they're even a better team at that point in the season,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Again, coaching can only take you so far when you get to this point in the tournament. And maybe it's more of an edge for a team like St. Peter's. But you know, when you're playing against an Illini team that hasn't played well for a couple weeks now, the Illini should be able to go out there and win this thing by double digits if they have the better talent overall.
They do, yep, no doubt.
I mean, so it's that point in the tournament where the best talent on the floor should win the game, right? And it's not the first round scare anymore, or maybe you underestimated your opponent coming in. And again, Illinois could have been a one seed if they went ahead and won the Big Ten tournament,
yeah,
right? They end up a four seed in Pittsburgh, and you got that product against Chattanooga. I just think that they didn't have enough sense of urgency that you should take care of business when you're the top team in the conference going into the tournament. Go ahead and win the tournament.
All right. 312-332-3776 if you've got any Illini thoughts that you want to get in here. So this is a defensive-minded Houston team. I think the offensive metrics are more of the product of the league that they played in. In the AAC, a very sort of minor league sort of conference there. But defensively, one of the best at preventing shots around the rim. They've got some solid interior presence. You've got a couple guys, albeit not with a lot of size. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing in this game. How is Houston going to handle size? Because they did lose twice to Memphis in the regular season. I know they beat them that third time in the AAC tournament. But Jalen Duren is an NBA caliber big. He's going to play physical with you. We saw that last night with the battle that he had with Chet Holmgren. If Kofi Coburn can be a physical force inside and give this Houston team some fits on the interior, I really like the Illini's chances. But that's a big if, because getting that ball to Kofi can be troublesome at times for Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting for that Holmgren-Duren matchup to rise to NBA standards.
Yeah.
But, you know, foul trouble, you know, get you in trouble, too. So,
yeah.
You know, so it's not just the Illini stars who have been struggling at this point, right? You know, again, it's survive and advance, and that's certainly been Illinois' case to this point.
So, Houston, another thing that I'm looking for in this game, they run a pretty deep squad out there. You'll probably see, eight, nine guys play for the Cougars today. But they almost have to, because they foul at one of the highest clips in the entire country. They're almost 300th in the nation in foul rates. And Illinois is going to have to hit their free throws in this game. I know it sounds cliche, you got to hit your free throws in March, but this is an Illinois team that, and part of this is a discipline factor for me, but they're shooting 70% from the line this season, 220th out of 358 teams in the country. Kofi's not a great foul shooter, but you have a couple guys on your team that you have to get the ball and have them attack in this game. Whether it's Trent, he's a fantastic free throw shooter at 85%. Whether it's Alphonso Plummer, 88%. Those guys need to force the issue and maybe attack at some of these bigs, because then you can maybe start to get some of these mismatches on Kofi in the post. Because, like I've said a lot, that big guys aren't going to win you a championship.
It's usually guard play.
It's usually the guards that are going to do it. Just look at last year's Final Four. However, if you get opportune matchups with some of your bigs, you can win individual tournament games. And in a tournament of survive and advance, I look at Kofi. If he can get some good matchups on the post against guys, if you can get Josh Carlton out there and maybe get more matchups with Fabian White throughout this matchup, that to me would bode well for someone like Kofi Coburn, because A, he's going to have a 4-inch height advantage there, and B, you're going to be getting rid of one of the better rebounders on this Houston team, on a good rebounding Houston team.
If it's not the marquee guys on the Illini today, which Illini player is going to have to step up and help the Curbelos and Fraziers and Coburns?
I look at Alphonso Plummer,
yeah,
because he has been sort of that microwave player that you've seen for this Illinois team. He's a guy who can go out there. I mean, you look at a game that he had against Ohio State back in February where he goes 8-for-10 from three. I mean, just look at some of these games that he's had for this Illinois team. How many times has he gotten 6, 7, and like I mentioned, 8 threes for this team? He does it, I'm not going to say fairly regularly, but it's certainly inconsistent. Last couple games, he's had the threes, the twos. So it hasn't been that explosion-type performance like we saw against Michigan back in the end of February, where he goes and hits 6 three-pointers against the Wolverines. Alphonso Plummer is going to be one of those guys that can win you a tournament game by himself. And if Coburn can't get things going, or if he is battling in the post and maybe is coming up a little bit short on some of his post moves, and Curbelo's maybe turning the basketball over a little bit, I need to see Alphonso Plummer have one of those games, those big-time performances that you hear the announcers yelling, "This is March," and it's the Alphonso Plummer shot playing in the background. That's the type of performance he might need to have today.
Well, you know, you gave props to Kelvin Sampson, and rightfully so. I've got to tell you, when they re-up Brad Underwood down in Champaign and gave him a raise like every college coach, you know, here's your country club membership and your mortgage for your mansion and
private jet.
Bill Self gets 240 hours of a private jet to get out of Kansas. I was shaking my head because I didn't see it. And you know what? You better not bow out today, because then I'm definitely not seeing it. It's great he got Illinois back to being relevant and got him back in the tournament and got him to tie for a conference championship with a little help from Nebraska. But that said, you've had talent now the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And if your early exit last year against Loyola and you were fatigued and you had your excuses, and, you know, I got to see more from him. I've got to see him being the difference maker. The A to B coach, but not B to C coach. If you bow out today, I'm still scratching my head. It's great the recruits are coming. It's great that he's got the program advancing and back to people caring in the state about college basketball. But now's the time, for him to lead this team to their ranking and to their seed and to validate that. And they should have been better than a 4 seed. But we'll see what happens today.
312-332-3776. What are your worries with this Illinois Fighting Illini team? 312-332-3776. And like you said, I mean, we heard it yesterday on Peggy and Dion. Someone called in, and they were ready to can the guy.
Yeah.
They wanted him out of here weeks ago. And I don't think it's at that point. I mean, you get a certain level of leeway for having the relevancy, but we see coaches get fired for their malperformances in March. And this is a program that the last couple of seasons has had a contender for player of the year. Last year it was Io DeSumo.
Yep.
This year it was Kofi Coburn. So there is no excuse for the lack of talent. They have certainly brought in talent to the program. I think Alfonso Plummer, he was one of the top transfers in the country here. You look at Curbelo. He was a highly rated player coming out of high school. There is talent on this roster. Trent Frazier is a guy who I think every coach in the country would want a Trent Frazier on their roster, especially in an NCAA tournament game. But I just think that you cannot underperform, especially after last season. You have to get Sweet 16, Elite 8.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Back in the day when I was covering the Illini, Lou Henson would always take out a piece of paper or a napkin at a restaurant, and he would roughly sketch out the state of Illinois, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had all the arrows coming into Illinois, talking about, we all know the great Illinois basketball talent at the high school level.
Yeah.
And it was during the Deion Thomas thing and the Iowa, it was Illinois paying Deion and, the Bruce Pearl stuff. And he basically said, everyone comes and steals our state talent. And that's why it was so important for Jimmy Collins to be the recruiter and all that. Brad Underwood, early on, if my memory serves, there were a bunch of high school coaches saying, we don't see him. He doesn't show up. He doesn't come to the games. Now maybe that's changed in his years here. But you better not take that for granted. And it's great you go get Curbelo from Puerto Rico and all that. You better recruit the state first, right?
Yeah.
And you better do that on a regular basis so that those arrows aren't going the other way, where the kids are starting.
Right.
And now you're relevant again, so kids are at least paying attention and might want to be part of what's going on in Champaign.
I think, too, and he did a good job bringing in DeSumo, but even look at Kofi. He's a guy who I believe he played out in Connecticut for his high school ball. Curbelo played out in, obviously he was in Puerto Rico, and then he moved to New York. So
The
East Coast stuff, you do need to win the state. And I think he did it a little bit. He went out and got a guy in Ty Rogers in this next class. But this is kind of a put up or shut up moment for Illinois basketball today.
Absolutely
against
is.
Houston. This is a very, very important game for the program because, again, you may not have a Kofi Coburn next season. You almost lost him this past off season, too. And think about where this team would be without Kofi, potentially. Because then you're looking at a really depleted team that probably isn't even in the NCAA tournament if they don't have a Kofi Coburn.
Yeah, so it is make or break time. Love to hear from Illini Nation where your confidence level is today. Are you feeling good because they haven't played their best basketball by a long shot, and yet here you are? Or you're saying, man, am I nervous?
312-332-3776. That's where we find Julia on I-55. What's going on, Julia?
Here we go.
Julia?
Hello?
How's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
I just called in. I'm just saying, I think that, for this Illinois game, we're really going to have to see Kofi catch, rebound and push the ball up the floor. I want to see him hit Curbelo on the run. And we want to see Curbelo be that spark plug that he usually is. And
are you a Curbelo fan, or do you always kind of hold your breath whenever he's out there?
Dude, I love it. I love his attitude. I think he has a great attitude, and I think he's that spark plug. I definitely think, one big thing, too, is we're going to have to see Plummer hit that open three.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's that microwave player. But if we could just get one or two open threes out of him, I think we'll really hold the chance to push on Houston.
Yep. Thank you for the call, Julian. 312-332-3776. Illini fans, if you want to jump in. I do think when he brings up, you love the attitude of a guy like Curbelo. Deion Thomas, one of the members of the Flying Illini, one of the greatest players in program history, he likes to call Andre Curbelo El Mago, kind of like what Cubs fans are accustomed to with Javi Baez.
Sure,
and it's very similar. You see the splash wow plays in a guy like Andre Curbelo. You also see the plays where it's like, why is this guy on the field? Yeah. Why is this guy on the court here? And that's the frustrating nature of a player like Andre Curbelo. They're going to need him to show out in this game.
Absolutely.
They're
going to
need Curbelo. They're going to need, I think Plummer's going to have a big game. You cannot just say we are Kofi or bust, because those teams don't win, and those teams don't win against cultures like what Houston has. Houston has been doing this for a couple years now. Kelvin Sampson has built this thing up and put together Final Four caliber teams. I believe in the pandemic season, they were shooting for a really high seed again. They dominate in their conference, and then they get to play. And Houston's one of those teams where they're almost like the new age Gonzaga, where everybody just wants to pick against them because, oh, you didn't play anyone during your regular season. You're just a flash in the pan team that once you get to March, you're going to choke. And they've never really choked along the way.
You know what? And you can just reference Gonzaga against Memphis for the same thing, right? That Memphis program, I didn't value them enough, and yet turns out they're probably underseeded. And when you have a disciplined team with length and quickness, and maybe Gonzaga came in feeling like they were all that, next thing you know, you're in a game until the final possession,
right?
Really. One possession game.
312-332-3776. We'd love to hear from you, Illini fans. Mike, Brandon, Will, we'll get to all of you guys next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN1000.
You're listening to Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley. It's Basketball U talking college hoops. Talking college hoops with you on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN1000.
Basketball U here on ESPN 1000, Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley. Illinois and Houston tipping off in about 20 minutes. Illini fans on edge, I think, for this game. This is a very important game for the program. When you look at the disappointment they had last season and what they need to do, really, to stay relevant. It's one thing to perk up a little bit with Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn, but what happens when those guys leave the program? And that's the next step for this Illinois team. 312-332-3776. Love to hear from all of the Illini fans out there. Let's start with Mike in Elk Grove. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for making the call.
I really think the Illini are going to have some self-reflection after coming out flat Friday, especially with the seniors, and they're going to come out with more urgency, but have to figure out a way to avoid the five-plus minute droughts where we don't have a field goal.
Yeah, and that's a big thing across college basketball, and we thank you for the call, Mike. I look at the team that came out sluggish, and I to a degree, agree with you're not going to come out with that lack of urgency. I think you look across the way and see a 13 seed in Chattanooga that quite frankly, Chattanooga, I don't even think played very well in that game.
No.
I just think the Illini played worse and just at the end of the day had more talent that won out. But I don't think they'll come out with that lack of urgency in this game. They are a veteran team, but like we've also said, they are an undisciplined team too. And if you can't match that up there, you're looking at another team that could disappoint you. And I know they're not a favorite in this game. I think you just brought it up. They're a
three-and-a-half-point dog
heading into this. But
think about
this would be a major disappointment
if they
didn't come out away with a win.
You better not need Drew Timmy time. You better not need some guy screaming in the huddle and using every four-letter word you can think of to motivate you and tell you the G-rated version is, this might be our last 20 minutes of basketball together. So let's go out there and do something about it. Play against Houston at a deficit, good luck, because they're going to be a hell of a lot better than Chattanooga.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Illini fans, jump on in. That's where Brandon from Oak Park checks in. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, guys, first of all, let me just say this. I've been watching this team all year long. I'm a huge fan.
Brandon, were you the one that called in yesterday ready to fire Underwood?
Just about, yeah, because I'm going to tell you this. You can't have two fifth-year seniors scoring 2 points apiece.
Yep.
That's pathetic and ridiculous. And Trent Frazier has been brutal the last 10 games, and it's not his fault. Let me tell you something. Trent Frazier can't get his own shot, so he can't get shots for others. So you have to set pick with Big Kofi up top. You never see Kofi come up top and set a pick. He just stands down there in the lane, and he tries to he got two, three guys on him. He never throws it out. And let me say this is very, very important. There's a kid on that bench named A.J. Melendez who can play. Mm-hmm. He's a two-way player. And you have the player of the year from Wisconsin. I'm going to say it again. You have a freshman that's player of the year from Wisconsin who can't get time on your team. You're not Gonzaga. You're not Duke Underwood. What are you? Kids don't sit a whole season. It's a transfer portal. This guy clearly doesn't know what he's doing. The best thing he could do is start Carvelo. Start three guards. Because Damonte Williams is hot garbage. He gives you nothing. Go with the three guards and set picks up top with Coleman and Kofi. That's how Trent Frazier can get open. And the NBA needs to see Kofi up top going back to the basket up in the open floor. All of this down low and he's a black hole and don't want to pass it back out when shooters are wide open, I would tell him, pass it out. That opens up the offense. If we hit a couple of threes, now the defense has to change. Let's go, guys. Peace.
All right, Brandon. Thanks, good man. Luck Love to your Illini. Yep. And I get what he's saying. Kofi needs to be up top. In this game, you need Kofi in the post. I don't think you need him setting screens. And listen, I don't think Coleman Hawkins is great at setting screens either. I think he's very susceptible to getting some of those moving screens because of the physicality at the top that he'll face against some of these guards. And just he's a thinner guy. He's a slender guy that can get moved by some of these guards at the top. But this is... Kofi Coburn can get you some offensive rebounds in this game. He's going to have the height advantage. I just think that you need him in the post in a game like this against Houston, who has so many good rebounders. You want to give yourself an opportunity for, at a minimum, to get them in a little bit of foul trouble.
Is there validity to what Brandon just said, though, about, you know, you get to the dance with the guys who brought you there, so you're not going to the hot recruit out of Wisconsin? Yeah. In the freshman, and the question I would have, and we maybe talk about in the final hour at some point, how much has the transfer portal changed the way coaches coach? You know, back in the day, Al McGuire was all senior time, right? When guys stayed for 4 years, and he would recruit them saying, by the time you're a senior, you're going to be the star of this team, and you're going to be on your way to the NBA. Well, obviously now it's sophomore year, you know, the star is going to the NBA or whatever. But If you're the hot kid out of Wisconsin, you're sitting on the bench, what are you thinking? And if you threw him out there today and put him in the heat of the moment, how would he respond?
On the note of Damonte Williams, who Brandon brought up, this was a guy last year that shot 55% from three.
Not hot garbage then.
But here's the problem, and I think it gets to Brandon's larger point there. He shot 55%, but he only took 64. And if you're shooting 55%, you need to be shooting more threes than that. It felt like he was scared at times to get some of those shots off.
Have to be the perfect situation.
He needs to shoot the basketball more. And this season, he's obviously seen his numbers dip down. I mean, nearly 20%, a little over 20% actually, from what it was from a season ago. He's now shooting 33% from distance. But that's a guy who, you know, he can hit those sort of shots. He needs to be aggressive. I'm not saying you want him to shoot every single one, because I don't think that's going to go well.
Today,
but if you can run some sets to get him open looks, he's a knockdown shooter. He led the country in three-point shooting last year.
That's amazing.
And for him to see this fall and just not have the aggressiveness that I think is necessary for this Illini team, as a fifth-year guy, like Brandon said, that stuff is going to hurt you, especially around this time. All right, coming up next, Gonzaga. They had a scare yesterday against Memphis. Are they still the title favorite in your eyes? We'll talk about that next.